if you could just give your name.
Well, my name is Marielle Jackson Holly by marriage.
Okay. And you live?
I live in Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I live in Commerce City. That's the outskirt of Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when Denver ends, Commerce City starts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And you grew up here in Elkins?
Yeah, this is my home. I grew up, was born and raised here. Grew up here. Went to school here. Mm-hmm. Graduated from high school here.
Now, when we met the other day, you were talking about the house where you lived.
Uh-huh.
Where your family lived here, I guess.
Uh-huh.
The first one you remember was
on 8th Street, you mean,
mm-hmm.
and Garmin Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's not the house that I lived in when I was born. I was born in a little house in which is now called Center Street. It was called Woolwine Hollow. I notice they aren't calling it that now, but it's a little house that was halfway up on the hill there, and they tore the little kind of a shack house. I noticed there is a tree where I was born. And they tore that house down. The tree is there now.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. It's next to, used to be the Chapman's home at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're old pioneers of Elkins. I'll have to remember where I am. And I was in that the house next to it, which was the Chapman's home, last night to see if I could get some information.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the ladies that live in there, her sister worked at Hollyhurst.
Hmm.
And I was trying to get some information from her. This sister is still alive, and she lives, I believe she said in, maybe she said Baltimore, Maryland. But if we could get a hold to her, she would know an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she's older than I am, you know, and I'm 71 now, so she's older than I am. And so if you could get a hold to her.
What's her name then?
Her name is Pearl Green Neville. I wrote it down. It's spelled N-E-V-I-L-S, Neville.
Mm-hmm.
Pearl Green. Her name was Pearl Green, and then she got married to a Neville.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Mm-hmm.
So you lived there most of your younger days then?
No, I was just actually born there.
Okay.
And by the time the next child was born, which was my brother, they had moved, they made a move to River Street, and then they made a move to my dad, I guess, bought this home at 817 Gorman Avenue, they call it now. We used to call it 817 8th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of switch corners there.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, Gorman Avenue crosses anyway.
Right.
So it's just a matter of what you want to use. You'll get they'll get the mail no matter where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking the other night, too, about brothers and sisters in your family.
Yeah.
And you had, you say, a brother?
Yes. And I'm the oldest child.
Okay.
My mother and father had two children that they lost before. One was, I think, was born dead or something like that before me. And I would be like a third child to my mother and father. Then there are two brothers born after me.
Hmm.
One is 2 years younger than me, and the other one is 4 years younger than me. We're like 2 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then I have this half-brother who is Nat, and then I have a half-sister who is Willie.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Excuse me one minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was I saying?
We're just talking about your family here.
Oh, yeah. Willing and Nat, they're half brothers and sisters, because we don't count half, you know. We might as well be whole so far as we're concerned. We're all close family.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you were talking again the other night about different things that the family was involved in, your father in particular, businesses that he held.
Yeah.
You were talking a little bit about Buzzard's Alley. I was wondering maybe if you could tell a little bit about that.
Well, you might be interested. I met Ted McDonald, who lives on River Street now.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted McDonald is older than I am. He's like maybe 6 or 8 years older than me. And he knows a few things that I don't know. And he said that my dad and his dad had businesses right on Third Avenue, right where the post office is now. Now, I didn't know about that. And then later, they had the business in Buzz's Alley. I don't know what caused the move. Maybe it's the rent's high or something. I just know what the deal was, but they moved to Buzz's Alley.
Was that Was that in the Crawford building on the corner, or would that be further on down there where the garage was?
He didn't say, except that where the new post office is now,
yeah,
that's where they had their business, right in that block, right about that at that point. So I was kind of interested in that, you know. I didn't get really get a chance to go into it, you know, deeply with him, but I'm going to try to get some more information concerning that.
What time frame that been? What period?
Well, it would have to be. I was born in 1919. In other words, you might as well say the 20s is when I came up. And it would have to be sometimes during the 20s, I would think. Because I remember when we had the restaurant in Buzz's Alley, I must have been at least 3 or 4 years old by that time. So if I was born 1919, it had to be in the 20s, wouldn't you say?
I see, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So was that a restaurant that he had over there on 3rd Street, or...?
My dad had the cleaning place. He always, he went in for cleaning clothes. That was what he wanted to do for a living. And then he had the restaurant, which my mother was an excellent cook, and he had the restaurant for her to run. Because mother wasn't interested in a lot of business, and so she preferred really just to stay home and be a mother, you know what I mean? So I guess that's why they gave the restaurant up. But it was really nice. I remember the restaurant. I was very, very small, but I remember that.
Now, is this the business that where they had the pressing machine and Nat was talking about the other night?
Yeah. the press. My dad called his business the Pressing Club.
Oh, okay.
And this afforded a place for teenagers to come and hang out. Because, see, the black kids had no place to hang out. And so this was a place they could come, you know, and they had this little machine that they put pennies in. And they could hold on to it with both hands and put a penny in and get a little shock, you know. And they have to prove whether or not they were a man, you know, by holding on to this. So a lot of teenagers used to hang around, you know. And I thought my dad was a great influence for him because he was always the type of person that felt that he could... discipline other people's children as well as his. And then the same thing happened with us. We could be disciplined with other grown-ups. Grown-ups were allowed to discipline anybody, any of the other children. So we had to really kind of watch our step.
I can imagine. Well, what other businesses were there right around that area?
There was a barber shop. I remember a barber shop and a rooming house, I think they referred to it as, run by the Slaughters. Mr. Porter and Oscar Porter and Albert Slaughter were the names of the barbershop owners. They were in business together, and all of their business was all white. They wouldn't take in any blacks unless they did it behind closed doors. And then the rooming house was for blacks. It was the only place they could go. There was no hotel or anything that they could go to except there at that time. And that was up over top of the barber shop.
Now, was this down there on that alley in there?
It was right on the alley.
Okay.
Not in the alley. It was on 3rd Avenue. The front of it was on 3rd Avenue, as a matter of fact. Now, let's see. I'm saying 3rd Avenue.
3rd Street.
3rd Street is what I want to say. 3rd Street, yeah. It comes right straight down from the depot. Is that 3rd Street?
Right.
That's where it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So there was the restaurant and the barbershop on in there. Were there any other businesses that you recall?
I don't recall any other business. Those were about the only three. In Buzzard Alley, there were also apartments. Looked something like what motels look like now, you know? and
just a low
little
building?
small area, not very wide, you know, and different families lived in those.
Was that a residential area then? I mean, was it
not necessarily a residential area? It was about the only place. If you were going to rent an apartment, that would be the place. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you would have a home in Elkins to live in. You see, that's the only place they had at that mm-hmm. time, as I recall.
Talking with Nat the other night, he kind of painted a portrait of it as being sort of the focal point for the black community.
It was. It was just like if you had a hangout place to go, mm-hmm. you know, that would be it at that particular time.
Uh-huh. So we're talking about like in the teens and 20s on up to about what point?
I would say in the practically all of the 20s, I would say. I'm a little uncertain about the 30s. It would probably have to, I think by the 30s, it was probably just about gone. They got out of business. My dad went out of business and he just couldn't handle working. He was working at the post office and he couldn't handle both jobs. It just became too much, you know, because he'd work 8 hours over at the post office and then he would come over to his business and try to work till all hours of the night, and he just couldn't handle that. So that's why he had to give it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we talk a little bit more about your family's connection then with Hallihurst. You mentioned the fact that your stepmother and father were married up there.
Yeah, they were. Uh-huh. Of course, that's years and years later from where we are now when it comes to that. The part I remember about Hallihurst was mostly before my father and stepmother got married. Mm-hmm. And the things I remember about it is that I knew there were two famous places up on that hill, Hallihurst and Graceland. I think that's what they referred to it as. And Nudie, in talking with her, Nudie Runner, was telling me, I wrote it down, she was telling me that her grandmother she was a chaperone for Hallihurst. A chaperone up there, and so was her, now she's saying Hallihurst, but I think she was talking about the girls that went to school up there, mm-hmm. her grandmother was a chaperone for them.
You mean like a house mother type?
Like
thing?
A house mother.
She lived there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And also, there was a Carrie Britton. She was telling me. I wrote that down, and she said that would have been about 1940. So that's a little beyond what I even know, because 1940. I was just about ready to leave Elkins. I had graduated from high school, I think, that year, if I remember correctly. And I was about ready to leave. So my memory would go back beyond 1940, before 1940, in other words. So that all happened, I guess, with her grandmother Ritter. That all happened after I left. But what I know about it, and I jotted down a few things here. Eva Dixon was a widow, and she had a son, and I got his name from some of the people I talked with today. And his name was Gus Boozer, I think they said. I may not have spelt it correctly, but Bus Boozer Dixon. I may not have spelt that correctly, but that was his name. Mm-hmm. Now, Eva Dixon was the one that stayed up there all the time, and she kind of ran that place. She was kind of like a housekeeper, and she was a launderer. She did the laundry, and the laundry woman, and the whatever they called her at that time. You know, they had all these different names for them. And she was the one that I remembered more than anyone else, because she went to our church to start out with, and she'd always come down and talk about different ones, you know, that was working up there, and something she'd have to rush back to get done, or somebody had to get up there to get. And I remember a lot of people in that way.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Which church was that?
That was Shiloh Baptist Church.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's a little church where we were all baptized in, you know, and mm-hmm. brought up. In fact, I was there. I was went to Shiloh Baptist Church when I was 1 week old. My dad was so proud to have a baby. He took me. I was the first one. Mm-hmm. And he took me when I was 1 week old. And he said he sang in the choir, and he said he used to change diapers and sang, you know, in Shiloh. And so this is some of the information. Now, also, when I was a very, very small girl, there's my grandmother, my own grandmother, my mother's mother, Emma Butler was her name, worked up there as a cook. Now, that I do know for sure. And I talked with an aunt today, called me from Passaic, New Jersey. Her name is Virginia Jackson, and she lives in Passaic, New Jersey. And asked her, did she have those two articles, which was antique pictures that came from Hallyhurst that was given to my grandmother. See, when dishes were broken, and you'd get odd pieces, the people up there who own the place would no longer want those, you see, and they'd just give them to different servants, you know, you want this or else throw it out, you see. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother said, oh, those are too nice to throw out, and she'd bring some of those pieces home and give them to my mother. And so that's how I was able to get them. And then my two aunts, which are my dad's sister, wanted them, and so I let them have a couple of pictures. And of course, I guess we lost some of the others, you know, over the period of time you lose things because things get thrown out and what have you, and they don't value things like, some people don't value things like others do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are these aunts lived here in town then?
No, these aunts, one aunt came here for a short while and stayed, and they were here when they were just teenagers. Mm-hmm. So when they came here, they were teenagers. Mm-hmm. And but my grandmother stayed here. I know she was, I don't know how many years for sure, but I know that she was here at least a couple years. And she came here to help my mother. My mother had three of us. And my mother wasn't well, and so grandmother came to help her. And so while she was here, she got this job up at Hallyhurst.
Hmm. So and this would have been in the 20s then?
And that would have been in the 20s. Uh-huh. It would have been, because we were small uh-huh. children. And I don't know exactly what year in the 20s, mm-hmm. but I know. But her name was Emma Butler.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I have a picture in Denver of my grandmother in the kind of outfit that she wore, you know, she had the old apron on and
yeah,
had certain things around her head she'd tie. And, mm-hmm. and I have that picture, so I'll send you a copy of that when I get back.
Oh, that'd be tremendous. Uh-huh. That'd be great.
Because she's one of the old-timers that really worked there.
Well, now, do you know whether she worked while the Elkins family still owned it, or was this after the college acquired it?
Oh, this was before the college acquired it.
Okay, so she worked for the Elkins family.
Oh, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You bet. And then I had an aunt, her name was Ether. It's spelled E-T-H-E-R. Mm-hmm. And that's my mother's sister, and this same grandmother, that was one of her daughters too. She and my mother were the two oldest children. And her name was Ether Sawyer. And she, after she left here, she went to Wheeling to live. Now she also worked there. She did kind of, well, she'd do maid work and whatever odd and end works. She was kind of a helper, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a short time that she was there. And then Lad Sawyer, her husband, which was my uncle, worked there. And here come Noisy. And
Just don't wash.
How you doing?
Hi. It's okay, y'all.
Getting better to tell you. My uncle, his name was Ladd, spelled L-A-D-D. That was his given name, Ladd Sawyer. He was chauffeur for the Davis and whoever else up there of the family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a chauffeur for them. Hmm. He used to drive them everywhere, you know. He had his uniform. He was a very handsome man. I was talking with some lady last night that knew him well right here in Elkins.
Hmm.
And she said that the ladies really liked him, you know. But he was a chauffeur for them.
Drove
a
car?
I know that. Huh?
Drove a car?
Yeah, great big long, we remember, great big long car that would come down the street, you know.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. And we were very, very young then. But I can just remember that. Now, my brothers couldn't remember that, so I had to be rather young, you know, pretty young.
So. How many people worked up there at Hallyhurst? Back at the time when your grandmother was there.
That's the thing that I haven't been able to find out yet. I'm going to try to get in touch with this Pearl Neville, Mm-hmm. I understand she's quite old now, and a lot of the people that who would be in their 90s about now, you know, yeah. some of the things they can remember, some of the things they can't remember. Mm-hmm. But you know who might be able to tell you that? Nudie was telling me about that today. Do you know a Ned Smith?
No, I don't.
And from Philippi? And here's what she said about him. I wrote it down. He's a pharmacist. And you might call him because, and his dad is still living, would probably be in his 90s. Mm-hmm. And his dad was a mail carrier that just knew everybody there.
Hmm.
So that, and he lived, and they live in Philippi. And she said if you'd call over there look in your phone directory and ask for Ned Smith, you might be able to get in touch with him. And see if he can get you in touch with his dad, and his name is Howard Smith, and he's about 90 years old about now, and she said that he might be the one you'd want to talk with if he can remember some of the people, because being a letter carrier and meeting those people and knowing everybody, he might be able to come up with a lot of names for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote that down.
Well, now I know some of the people that work there lived in the building, whereas other people lived in town.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten any information along those lines?
Okay, I tell you what, Ted McDonald, who lives on River Street, was talking a little bit about that. Ted said what he remembers is that some of the people lived on the place. Some of them had little homes in up there for some of them to live in, and then some lived in town. And I don't know who lived up there and who didn't, except Eva Dixon and her son. I know they were there. That was just their home. They didn't live anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They lived there. I know that for sure.
Mm.
Uh-huh. So I can't give you the exact names for them. I asked about Carl Baxter, and because I know he was a chauffeur, and he was a friend with my uncle Lad Sawyer. But what I learned about him was he was a chauffeur for the Moores, who lived at Elmore, West Virginia.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure where Elmore is. It's somewhere close to Elkins.
To the west out there.
Is that where it is?
It's on Route 33 now.
Is that where it is?
Yeah.
Well, I thought he was involved with working up there, but they said no. He worked for the Moores from Elmore.
Okay.
So that it took care of that. And then there was... let's see, we were asking about, there was a Thomas who worked up there as a butler. And then I asked, was that Gertrude Thomas' husband, whose name was Bama? His name was Bama Thomas.
Hmm.
But Gertrude Thomas' husband did not work there, neither did Gertrude. But there was a Thomas that worked there, and he was a butler. So I jotted that down.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Will Lewis that worked there, and his wife, Eva Lewis. I don't know what their position was particularly, but they worked up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, I got this from someone I talked with last night. Bruce, his first name was Bruce, and his father worked on the Davis farm. They had some kind of farm. They raised some crop or something.
Oh, yeah. Both of those were estates.
Yes. And their father... whose name, Bruce's father, and we couldn't find out his name. All we know is Bruce's father. So maybe we can get in touch with some of these people. They can clear that up for us. There was a person named Eddie Washington that worked there at the time. He was a cook. And I'm saying Eddie Washington. That Eddie Washington was the wife. I'm not telling you right. And Eddie, that's what they call her, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how she spelt that. And Steptoe Washington was her husband. He was a person everybody knew, Steptoe. And Steptoe, he used to take care of the kids up there. There were four kids that he took care of. And they were Dr. Allen's kids.
Okay, the boys, yeah.
Uh-huh, there was four of them.
Right.
And Steptoe, I guess Dr. Allen was the head of one of those schools, the dean of the school.
The college, yeah.
The college.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Steptoe would bring two kids with him to our church because he was Baptist, Shiloh Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And his wife, Eddie, would go to the Methodist church with the other two. And there, I guess Dr. Allen was so busy, he didn't have time, I don't know about his wife, but he didn't. They didn't have time, you know, to care for their kids. And so Steptoe and his wife was just almost like parents to him because they had him all the time. Hmm. And so someone told me about that, too. And I jotted that down. I thought you wanted to know about that. And those four kids was practically raised by those two people. They kept them day and night. Just, they had those kids just like they were their own kids. Hmm. And let's see. Is there anything else you'd like to know? But let's see. What else did I jot down here for you? Oh, I did write this down where Mr. Davis had little cottages for his help to live in. There were just little cottages up there. So those are the ones that lived there, I guess. Now, to know their names, I haven't been able to find anybody to know that. There was a lady that lived first across the street from us on 8th Street, 8th and Garmin Avenue. And her name was Cora Crank, and she worked part-time. I mean, you know, it wasn't a regular job for her like the others.
How do you spell that last name?
Crank, C-R-A-N-K, okay. Crank, Cora Crank. She was a part-time worker there. And also I heard that there was a lady called Miss Ellis. They don't seem to know her last name. Hmm. And she worked up there. These are all blacks that I'm telling you about now that work there. Mm-hmm. So I can give you part of their names, but I haven't been able to get all of their names. Now here's a name that I'm, there was a Leona Lewis and a Russell Lewis. And these Lewises were relatives of the Pearl Green Neville. And their sister, Margaret Green Marks, lives here up on Center Street. Hmm. And I went to see her last night. And see, Margaret is older than I am, and she doesn't remember an awful lot herself about who was up there. But if we could get a hold of her sister could tell us an awful lot.
Pearl.
She worked Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
And Pearl is the one, I believe, that lives in Baltimore, if I remember the name correctly. Mm-hmm. But she and her son, they're Pearl's and Margaret's sister. Well, wait a minute, it's Margaret Green's aunt. I'm not telling you right. Leona Lewis, let me get this straight. Leona Lewis and Russell Lewis was Margaret Green, Margaret Marks, who lives in Elkins here now, is that's her aunt that worked there.
Okay.
And so that would also be Pearl's aunt then.
Hmm, okay.
So they would be before Pearl's time. But Pearl, she said, would be able to tell you. There is a Russell Lewis that lives on Railroad Street, right next to where Riverside School used to be. And I understand he's quite ill, and I was going to try to see him before I go to see if he could tell me a few things.
Hmm.
What I'm finding is that, another one I was going to call would be, would probably be...
Take it easy.
Another one that I want to get in touch with would probably be Jim Daniels. Now, Jim Daniels is about 4 years older than me, and he should remember some of those names, too. He's in New York City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he used to go to school here, and he used to teach at Riverside. And Cora Crank was his aunt, and they live right next door to us on 8th Street, with the Daniels did, right next door to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet he could. I'm trying to think of all the people that are alive, left alive, that could help now. I'm going to try to get more information for you and get it to you.
That'd be great.
Because some of these names where I have one name, maybe you'll be able now to get the last name, and maybe we can get some of the years, and I know you're interested in all those things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, it's just kind of like a big puzzle, and I don't know where all the pieces are.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Well, we'll just keep looking, and
that'd be great.
And I find more people I talk with, the more I'm learning about it, you see. Now, there's a Mamie Lewis right on River Street now. She has some information. I went in to see her. And she's the one that gave me some of these names, like this lady. They called her Miss Ellis. Everybody called her that. Hmm. She worked there. And they don't know what she did, what her last name is, but they called her Miss Ellis. Everybody called her Miss Ellis. So I got that part of it. Now, of course, you know, my dad, William Jackson, and then Carrie, it was Carrie Brown, they got married there in Hollyhurst. And Eva Dixon, that you hear us talk about a lot, was the one that made those arrangements for her to get married there, because there was nobody there, and she was taking care of the house and kind of practically running the house. She's the housekeeper. She arranged it. And I asked CB if she could remember who her best man was, because that's the name that we're all trying to come up with. And she can't remember her best man. And one thought came to me, it's possible that we could go over to the courthouse and get a copy of their marriage certificate, and that it, if he was a witness, and I'm sure he was, that would be on their marriage certificate. Mm. Wouldn't you think? I thought about that.
Possibility.
That might be a way to do it.
How'd they decide on Hollyhurst?
Well, they knew Eva Dixon.
Okay.
And in the first place, we children were not told that they were going to be married. We didn't know about this marriage. This was all came as a surprise to us.
Hmm.
That was before Nat's and Willine's time, because Nat and Willine came as a result of that marriage. And my dad and my two brothers and I, we all lived over on 8th Street. And at that time, her name was Brown, and we always called her Miss Brown. I mean, she was just Miss Brown all to everyone that knew her at that time, or else Carrie Bell to the older people. And we didn't know that there was anything going on. It was just kind of a surprise to us. So Dad was a good friend of Miss Dixon. I think he was really had went to her for advice. I mean, I learned all this afterwards, and just hearing, you know, some of the things that were said. He went to her advice and asked her, what do you think about me getting married again? You know what I mean? And my mother had gone back to South Carolina to live. She didn't want to live in Elkins anymore. And because of that, well, they decided that they would just have a friendly separation, because that's what it was. We never saw one unkind thing between our parents. And next thing we knew, Dad came in one night and he said to me, here's your mother. And that was the night they got married. That's just the way it happened. So we were not prepared for it, any of us.
Mm.
And then later, she was living on River Street at that time, Miss Brown, and she had her two children to take care of, and she was a widow herself. Her husband had died. And so then later she moved over to the home on 8th Street. And it's been there ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So we just don't really know, you know, how that come about, except Miss Eva Dixon gave advice that was all right. Dad was a big church member, a deacon, and he didn't know whether it was right to go ahead and marry someone else or not. And I assumed that he got a divorce. I think it would be dumb if he didn't. And I'm sure he did. I mean, Dad would know better. And I guess he was kind of toying in his mind whether this is the right thing to do, and Miss Eva Dixon was the one that was always kind of on his side and would give him advice. This is what I learned later, and she said, how can we do this and where can we go? Because if you marry where everybody know what you're doing, you know, that news would get around town. And I guess he just wanted to have a private marriage, and she arranged that for them.
Mm-hmm. And where was it held in the building?
The only thing I've ever heard, not being there, of course, is what I heard, that it was in a hallway or something there. I don't know.
Hmm.
I'm just not sure what part of that building. And maybe if you can get to talk with CB, get her in a good talking mood that she feels like expressing that, she might be able to. A lot of things she's forgotten herself now, you know, but if she gets to thinking about it, I'm sure. She has a good memory. So I'm sure there's a lot that she can tell you about that.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. Because we were not given opportunity to be there, you see. It was all surprising to us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Maybe we can talk a little bit more about just the black community in general here in Elkins. Now, there are a number of people working in Hallihurst, a number of people that own their own businesses in town.
Mm-hmm.
What other things did people do for livelihood here in the community? Back, say, in the
most of what I remember is that we worked in homes, in private homes mostly.
Mm.
For that was probably the only jobs that were available at that time, to work in private homes. And that's why most of our families tried to impress on all of us kids when we were coming up that you should get an education. And the big thing and the big goal at that time was to try to get into education so that you could come out and be a teacher, because at that time teachers were considered, you know, a real good investment, and you'd have a good livelihood and that type of thing. So mm-hmm. parents would always try to help their kids with that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I really, as I think about it, a few people got into business. There was Mr. Edwards that lived next door to us. He finally moved up to, I want to say Woolwine Hollow, because that's why how I used to know it, but up on Diamond Street.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a business going there. That was one place. Gertrude Thomas over on 6th and Railroad. It was at 6th Avenue and Railroad, where the, just the next corner from where the Intermountain is now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And Railroad Avenue. She put up a business there right by her home. That was one place. Tom Johnson had, I don't know if you know of him, he had a cleaning place in the alley right across from where the YMCA was at that time.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. It's kind of like in an alley there.
Hmm.
Scotty would know about this. She could tell you about it. She remembered that, I'm sure she. Was it Scotty?
Back behind those apartments there, that row of apartments that's on
4th Street? It was right on the alley. Right on the alley, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Right on the alley.
Huh.
That's where his business was.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Johnston was the one who, McDonald was telling me this last night. Tom Johnston was the one who first came to Elkins. And he came from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Rock Hill, South Carolina, and Chester, South Carolina, was the state where most of these people came from right from the start.
Hmm.
There was my dad, and there was the Daniels, the Edwards, the Davis. All of those people came from Chester, South Carolina, or Rock Hill. That Rock Hill is only about, oh, I'd say it was about 15 or 20 miles from Chester in South Carolina.
Hmm.
And then you go a little beyond there and you'd go right across the line into Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
To give you some idea about where it's located.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the northern part of the state right next to the North Carolina line.
How'd they happen to choose Elkins as a place to go?
Tom Johnston was the one who started it. He and Dad were very good friends, and this is what Ted can tell you about this better than I can, because Ted's father, the McDonald's and all of them, they wanted to leave there because Chester, South Carolina, because opportunities were very, very poor.
Mm-hmm.
See, my dad was in show business. He was a traveling in show business. He could dance and act on stage and do all mm-hmm. kind of things, and he. But he couldn't make a living at that because at that time they didn't have an agent. He didn't have an agent. And he had to depend on his own race to support him, and they didn't have the money to support him.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to give it up and get into something else. So he followed, Tom Johnston for some reason came to West Virginia and let everybody else know, hey, there's an opportunity there. And he said, Here's what Ted said to me last night. He said, all of these people, said some of them couldn't hardly read or write. And he said, there was just a bunch of people up here that didn't know if they were coming or going that came here on advice from Tom Johnston, said, maybe we can all get some good jobs, you know what I mean, and what have you. Now, my dad had what was called a normal. At that time, they called it a normal education.
Mm-hmm.
And they had them thinking that if you get 2 years of that education, why, you know, you'd be able to teach, in which they did let them go and teach in our schools in the South, you see. Mm-hmm. Actually, it only amounted to 2 years of high school, but they were telling right. that they were getting 2 years of college. Hmm. And anyone had that could have a teacher's degree to teach the other kids in school. They would allow them in their schools, because schools were not mixed at that time, you see, in the South. Right. So all this much coming up here, a lot of them Ted was telling me, a lot of them couldn't read and write. And he said it was just a mess, you know, had a bunch of people up here and didn't know what they was doing and didn't know if they were going or coming. But through Tom Johnson, he could read and write and teach, and he did teach for a while, and then he raised his kids up to teach. They taught at Riverside. And I remember Dad saying when he got his job, at the time he got his job at the post office, he was the only one in the bunch that could read and write. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And of course they were doing like custodian type of work and that type of thing, but Dad was kind of the head person, you know, at that time for that job. And then later on they hired some others that, now Dinus, he was able to, he could read and write. So I don't know the other people that were no longer working, I don't know of them or not, but those that came later on, they were able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Mr. Johnson came here, mm-hmm. to Elkins, mm-hmm. was that what he set out to do, was to come to Elkins, or was he just in West Virginia and heard about Elkins, or did you find any information?
Well, I think
that?
He just came to West Virginia, and then he found that there was an opportunity here, and he was kind of a smart man, you know, he'd had a little bit of education there in the South, and he used to teach for a while, as I learned from Ted, and I didn't know about this. I knew about his children teaching. Mm-hmm. And then knowing my dad, and he was a very good friend with my dad, and he told my dad about it, and then he told some of the others he knew, like the Daniels. They were from all down there at Rock Hill, mm-hmm. South Carolina, which is right close to Chester. And the Cranks, and Tom Johnson's wife, mother came, and I mean, they just all ones that start coming one after the other, and that's mm-hmm. that's how they all got here. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Where the Washingtons and the Lewises come from?
The Washingtons, which Washington are we talking about now? There was a Washington.
Talking about Eddie and
Eddie Washington. I don't know where they came from, tell mm-hmm. you the truth. They didn't come from the South as I understood it. Mm-hmm. The Lewises that I was talking about was friends to, they must have been, I'm sure they were from Elkins here too, but I don't know where they originally came from and how they got here. Mm-hmm. I'd have to ask Margaret Green about that. Next time I talk with her, I'll ask about that. If all this information that you want to know, if I can find out more about that, I'll let you know about that. But they were from Elkins here, these Lewises. Mm-hmm. But and so was Pearl Green. So I don't know where they came from, though, because there was a bunch of Greens here, and some of them were teachers, because some of them taught in our school, and we went to school with some of them. I don't know. I can't help you with that. I wish mm-hmm. I knew that. That's a question I'll try to find out.
The reason I'm asking is I'm just trying to get a better understanding of
the Lewises.
What the story was, why people came here, and obviously
it was
a city that was growing very quickly.
Yeah.
And of course, whenever that situation arises, then naturally there are jobs to be had.
That's right.
But the question is where the word got out, you know, who found out about it and how they found
by
out
just coming.
Why
well,
did they come?
You know, as I remembered and looking into history, a lot of the blacks just wanted to leave the South because the conditions was just awful for them there.
Yeah.
And I think they just sought to go north somewhere and had no idea where they were going. And maybe if they arrived at a town where they found, you know, a little more pleasant environment, maybe they said, well, I'll just stop here. And then if they could get a job or set up a job for themselves, you see, I guess that's how they settle mm-hmm. that way. Yeah, because the Davises, they had the whole place sewed up. It was their place.
Mm-hmm.
When that's how it started out.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I don't know about the rumors. I haven't. Have you checked into their history? I don't know their history, how they got here. Well, but it was rumored that one of them was with Jesse James.
Oh, that's a good old story. Yeah.
Have you ever heard that?
Yeah,
I've
heard
it. Is that a made-up one?
That's definitely made-up one, but it's a good old story.
I said that has to be a made-up story. Said it was with Jesse James and they settled here.
I'll tell you what that was all about here. One thing I was wanting to ask you about in regard to that book that Don Rice put together. There's a photograph in there taken as members of the Moose Lodge in town. About in the 19-teens or 20s or somewhere down around in there. And one of the people in the picture is identified as being a butler at Hallihurst. Well, it's a white man.
Uh-huh.
And I just wondering if in talking with people, if you have gotten any further information along those lines, gotten that impression, the fact that there were both
butlers,
black servants there working, and also white servants.
Yeah, there were.
And,
various
different capacities around.
Yeah,
there,
there were. This is what Nudie was trying to tell me. This is what this man would be able to do for you, the Ned Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He could give you, Nudie said there were quite a few of them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I told her, I said, now he's trying to find out information about people working there. And, Julius Rutter. But he's in that one, do you? There's a Julius Runner that lives in Roanoke, Virginia, she said. He would know. He would remember some of those people, too.
Is that a relative of hers?
That would be her husband's relative.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And he would know. He would know.
Huh.
These people that they're that I have the names of are all like in their 80s, 90s, and you know, mostly 90s. And if we can get a hold of some of them before they're gone, they could help us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try desperately to get some more information because what happens when what I'm finding now, when I go to one, they'll tell me somebody else I can get contact. So we're going to have to get a hold of all these people before everybody's gone, you know. Because
yeah.
I was a small child. I was just a child myself, but I just remember a lot of things, you know, that occurred at that time. Because family's been very important to me, and my past memories are things that kind of keeps me going, and I'm interested in history anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And being the oldest child, I've been trying to see so many things Nat don't know, because I'm 21 years older than that, 22 maybe, and I've been trying to tell him about all this